We're going to look at Korach. Korach is our Torah portion for today. And, you know, the name Korach is, it translates into English as Korah, K-O-R-A-H, so not much different. There is Korach founded a new religion, many of whose members were prominent men. Korach, new religion, rejected the law of Moses. So we're going to look at that according to chapter 16, verse 3. This new religion might be called Korachianity. Korachianity rejected the law of Moses and even made a change in the priesthood so that they had their own non-Aaronic priests. Does this sound familiar? After consulting with God and Moses and Aaron on behalf of God, make a call to the followers of Korachianity. Separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. Get you up from the tabernacle of Korach. Depart and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. God was getting ready to judge this new religion called Korachianity. But first he sent his messengers to give people fair warning. God sent his messengers to expose and reprove Korachianity and to call his people out of Korachianity before it was too late. One cannot miss the obvious parallels that this call to depart from Korachianity and the call to come out of Babylon and be separate, given so often in the Tanakh and in the writings and in the prophets. Isaiah 52:11, depart you, go out from there, touch no unclean thing, go out from the midst of her, and wherefore come out from among them, you, and be separate, says God, in 2 Corinthians 6:17, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And in Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people, that you may be not partakers of her sin, and that you receive not her plagues. It would seem that in the last days as well, God sends his messengers to call his people out of a false religious system that happens to be around. Let me talk about something that happened in last week's Torah portion. In last week's Torah portion, we have two guys that emerged, Yehoshua and Caleb. And if you look at those two, they're a type of the two witnesses. They were true witnesses, number one. Yehoshua came from the tribe of Ephraim, and Caleb came from the tribe of Judah. One was a Jew, one was a Gentile, by the way. Much later, after the division of Israel into the northern and southern kingdoms, Israel and Judah, these tribes came to typify the two houses of Israel. Okay, Ephraim came to typify the northern kingdom. Sometimes it's called Ephraim, or, you know, the ten tribes of the north. While Yehuda comes to typify the southern kingdom of Judah, which consists of Judah and Benjamin and probably the Levites. This is seen in the two sticks of prophecy that we have in Ezekiel chapter 37. The word for stick in Hebrews is etz, right? Etz Chaim, it's a tree of life. It also means tree, which reminds us of two olive trees of a place in Revelation called chapter 11, which represents the two witnesses. This also parallels the two comings of Messiah, as well as the two messiahs of the two messiah theory, which are typified by Messiah ben Yosef, who is represented by Ephraim and Yehuda. Yosef, represented by Yehoshua, Joshua, suffered in order to redeem his brothers by being sold for the price of a slave and cast into a grave or a pit. Yet Yosef arose out of that pit and redeemed his brothers. This typifies the first coming of our Messiah. And in fact, the name Yeshua is often used as a contraction for the name Yehoshua. Yehuda, the ruling tribe represented by Caleb, represents the second coming of Messiah as king, as ruler, right? Isn't that pretty cool? Okay. This week, we see a typology between Moses and Aaron and the two witnesses In the Tanakh, we see a recurrence of pairs whose names begin with the Hebrew letters Mem and Aleph, Moshe and Aharon. Here we have Moshe and Aharon. In Esther, we have Mordechai and Eliyahu, Elijah, M and Aleph, right? In each case, the two letters are Mem and Aleph. So there seems to be a continuing typology of the two witnesses with the letters Mem and Aleph. These two letters in Hebrew spell the word for mother, M. And in Judaism, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is often called the mother. This is because these two witnesses had or will have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, upon them. Moshe and Aaron, like the two witnesses, called the people to come out of Korach Ianity before it's too late. What are we going to see in the end times? Two witnesses coming in Revelation, Moshe and Elijah, Mem and Aleph. The book of Jude, how many of you read Hey Jude? Parallels a last day's apostasy with the rebellion of Korach. It's a well known that the book of Yehuda parallels the book of 2 Peter, and Yehuda warns us of men who will promise liberty, but turn from the holy commandments, which are the Torah. According to 2 Peter 2, 18 through 21, turning the grace of our Elohim into a license to sin, according to Jude 1, 4, and 14 and 18. Yehuda compares these men to those who perish with the destruction of Korachianity in Jude 1, 5, and 11, and forewarns of their destruction at the coming of God. And that's in Jude 1, 14, and 15. And so, to once and for all validate whose church it was, we next have a narrative which recounts how each of the chiefs of the 12 tribes brought forth a rod. Only the rod of Aaron budded, and thus verified the priestly ministry of the house of Aaron. There is an interesting typology here. Aaron, as high priest, has a typological relationship to Messiah, especially to Messiah ben Yosef, the coming of Messiah as the suffering servant, who is known in the Qumran as the Messiah of Aaron. Mashiach means the anointed one, and the HaMashiach is, there's only one HaMashiach, only one the anointed one, and his name is Yeshua. There are many anointed ones. Any time a priest became a priest, he got anointed. Every time a king became a king, he got anointed. They were called Mashiachs, but not HaMashiach, the Messiah. There's only one of them, right? Yeah, I know who he is. And Aaron brings forth a rod which sprouts, reminding us of Isaiah 11:1. And the rod out of the stem of Jesse, from which a branch shall go out of its roots. This sprouting rod reminds us of Messiah. This story also reminds us of Yeshua's statement in Matthew 7:20, by their fruits you shall know them, which he uses in context of the true followers versus those who are Torahlessness. Matthew 7:20 and 20 through 20 and 23. Let me read those verses for you. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I then will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Okay. Unfortunately, lawlessness in the King James is translated as iniquity, and that doesn't mean lawlessness. And in Greek, the word anomos, A-N-O-M-O-S, means without, and the Greek word nomos is Torah. That's what it is. You who practice without Torah, you who practice lawlessness, that's what it's supposed to be. In this way, the rod of Aaron, Messiah, is contrasted with Torahless Korachianity. Okay, having validated the Aaronic priesthood in chapters 16 and 17, chapter 18 goes on to recount the duties of the priests and the various methods by which the priests and Levites were to be supported by the congregations of Israel. Although no temple stands today, we learn from this the important lesson that it is up to God's people to support his workers. While the lesson here is here applied only to the Levitical priesthood, it is certainly true that the general principle of support would remain true for all of Yahweh's workers. Okay? We need to pray all the time. We need to support one another. We need to lift each other up when we're down. We need to lift each other up, to comfort each other. We need to do that. We need to be there for each other, even when we feel we need to run away, especially when we feel we need to run away. You know, I found that that's the time that you need to be with people the most, is when you feel like you need to run away, because that's the time you need them the most. And no one comes here by accident. Nobody got up this morning and said, oh, I'm tired of watching these cartoons. I think I'll just go to Adat HaTikvah Tzion. Find me a Messianic congregation somewhere and worship the Lord. Amen. Beat Scooby-Doo any day, huh? No. Hashem sent you here. Amen. He took your car and he drove it here and he put you in the parking lot. You may not have been thinking you were coming here, but I know I've been run over by trucks in the parking lot, haven't I, Clark? Yeah, he didn't think he was coming here that day. I mean, it happens. God sends you. Yeah. And when he sends someone here, we need to be there for them. Okay? Because that includes all of us who are in this room. Every one of us needs to be here for every one of us. You know, we all go through trouble and strife and times of need and just times when we need to hang out with people, you know. And we may not want to at that time. We may not feel that that's the right and proper thing to do in our lives at that time. But God knows that it's the right and proper thing to do for us. You know, there are many times when I don't want to be around people. Do you know that I'm an introvert? I'm afraid to talk to people. Yeah, I am. I get very scared when I'm in front of people, and I need to do this so I don't. But you know, God pushed me up here. Yes, I used to get drunk. I didn't want to do this. Yeah, I'm very uncomfortable. I mean, I was. Yeah, I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to be somewhere by myself, you know. And I was for 3 years. I was by myself, and I was fat, dumb, and happy until God said, now it's time to come out of your shell. And so, you know, being here is the greatest thing in the world. I can't think of a better place to go. I wouldn't want to go anywhere else. If this were to shut down tomorrow, I wouldn't go anywhere else. I'd go back to my room, I guess. But I don't think God has that in mind for us, no. In fact, we need to encourage people like Aviad to, you know, to build them up, to keep, to lift them up, to raise them up, because he represents the new generation of Messianics. He's reaching out to the young people, and he has got an important message for everyone. And so we need to honor that and try to bless him as one of our own. He's a mishpocha, right? He's a family, and we are mishpocha. You know, I'm your brother and you're my sisters and brothers, and we're important to each other. We don't function without each other. There's no way. And so if you think you can function on your own, God's got another thing in mind for you, because he's going to ask you where you were fellowshipping at when he comes back. How have you treated my brothers and sisters is his first question. I don't want to stand before him and not have an answer to that one. Because I think he'll flunk the rest of his test if he flunked that one. So, anybody have a testimony, a real nice, exciting praise testimony for today before we go to the Aleinu? Anything exciting happened in somebody's life this week? I know that, yeah, go ahead, Marge. I was waiting for you. That was so awesome because she caught me right at the moment I was getting ready to leave the house and in the morning, because yesterday I was like my day off. But she called and said that her grandson had been injured in a car accident and he's at the Midlands Hospital and might have very serious brain damage. And so please pray for him. And I started crying because I know Jason, he's been here. And you know, he's such a young guy and all, he doesn't need that kind of stuff. And I prayed, I said, God, you know, just give him a chance to live. And I sent out an email to everybody, but I started praying as I was driving to the gym. And I just said, God, you know, just give him a chance, you know, take away that stuff, heal him and make him well and let him learn from this. Let this be a lesson to him. And then use him however you might in your life. And then I got home and the phone rang again. It was Marge, and she said that he'd been okay, that there was no problems with his head, that it was just some bumps and bruises. So I know God answered prayers there. And, you know, what a miraculous deliverance. And Jason is going to get well, right? He'll have to get another car eventually. But cars are no big deal. They're just metal. Okay, let's do the Elenu, page 22.